Good morning again, brothers and sisters and children, not too many children. Happy Mother's Day to all of you and to all the children here. What did you do for Mom today? Getting a bit slack, guys. Anyway, we're going through a series on respectable sins, things that are actually wrong. But somehow, because it is so common, it's becoming acceptable and it's becoming respectable. But today is also Mother's Day. So we'll look at the sins that mothers may be tempted to commit. But these respectable sins are not just for mothers. So if you are not a mother, but a father or single or children, don't switch off, because this is for you too. What are these respectable sins that mothers are tempted to commit? Well, I'll tell you after we pray. Let us first ask God to open our hearts so that we don't just have an intellectual discussion, but really hear from God. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to come and worship you with our church family. Today on Mother's Day, we thank you for giving us great mothers. For those of us whose mother has already gone to be with the Lord, we thank you for the memory of a loving, caring mother. And for those of us who still have our mothers, please help us to honor them, to love them, and take them and not take them for granted. As we open your word now, please help us to understand the temptation and of respectable sins for mothers. Help us not to be influenced by society and accept things that you say is wrong. For those of us who are not mothers, please help us also to learn how it applies to us. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The first respectable sin I want to talk about is prayerlessness. Is that a new word? What I mean is the lack of prayer. Let me explain why I think it is a sin and why I think it's respectable. You see, when God created the world, He created us to be His friends. He didn't want us to be robots like R2-D2. Robots only do what they're programmed to do. They don't think, they don't decide for themselves. No, what God wanted was for us to be His friends. He wants to have a relationship with Him. But as we know, because of sin, this relationship is broken. We go through our daily life not thinking very much about Him, not talking to Him, let alone asking Him for directions and guidance. Now, this living a life ignoring God is a sin. And that sin has a punishment. The punishment is that we are separated from God. We live our life on our own, and God is separated from us. And this separation is permanent, both when we are alive now and after we die. After we die, we go to a place where there is no love, no joy, no peace, no happiness, because God is not present at that place. That place is called hell. We'll go to a place where there are only bad things, sadness, pain, frustration, and most of all, regret. Regret for the way we have lived while we were alive. But by the time we die, it is too late. Our decision to live separately from God is final and permanent. My goodness, what a terrible way to start a message on a happy day like Mother's Day. Yes, left to ourselves, our destination is terrible and frightening. But wait, there is good news. 3 weeks ago, we celebrated Easter, the resurrection of Jesus, the Son of God. He came to die so that anyone can become God's friend again now. And after we die, we will spend eternity with him. Not in the terrible place called hell, but eternity with him in heaven. Now, the other good thing is that this is a free gift. You don't have to do good. You don't have to come to church. You don't have to give money to anything. In fact, you can't do anything to earn this. It is a free gift. But you do have to be sincerely sorry for the way you have lived, for ignoring God, and therefore repent from living this rebellious life. For those of us who have accepted this free salvation, we are now God's child again, just as God originally planned it. This is why it's called the good news, to be loved and have fellowship with God from now, here, until eternity. Now, this is then where respectable sin comes in. You see, we still live on earth. We are not yet perfect, are we? I know, certainly I am not. We are still a work in progress. And in our daily busyness of life, we can take our eyes off the ball and we forget what our main priority should be. Prayerlessness or lack of praying is one of these respectable sins. God wants to have fellowship with us all day long, but we're too busy. By not praying, really, we're ignoring God. We are actually saying other things in our lives are more important to talking to God and being with him. A lack of prayer also shows that we think we can manage our own lives. We don't need him. Those are the reasons why prayerlessness or the lack of praying is a sin. But we fall into these wrong habits gradually. We slowly get used to them. And then it becomes more acceptable. It becomes more normal to pray less and less or not at all. And of course, our society doesn't remind us because society doesn't even pray. They don't believe in prayer, or only they pray when they say tragedy or real difficult issue, but generally they don't. And therefore, in society, it is respectable not to pray. And therefore, lack of praying is a respectable sin. Since it is Mother's Day, let us look at Hannah's example and see how she prayed as a mother. Let me first give you the background of Hannah. If you've closed your Bibles, please open it again to 1 Samuel 1 on page 190. Hannah and her husband Elkanah lived in a town called Ramah or Ramathaim. That's about 5 to 10 kilometers north of Jerusalem. They lived around 1100 BC. When we first met Hannah in 1 Samuel 1, she didn't even have a child. She was not yet a mother. But she longed so much to have a child because in that society, a woman without a child was rejected, considered useless. They were in danger of being divorced by their husband and be in a difficult position to survive on her own. So Hannah was not in a good place. She was desperate and sad. On top of that, her husband Elkanah had a second wife. Actually, not on top of her. It's probably more because of that. Because the first wife did not have children, he married Peninnah. Peninnah did have children, and she delighted in provoking and humiliating Hannah for her barrenness. But Hannah was patient. She did not retaliate. She fully trusted God and believed in prayer. Every year, we read, she joined the family going to Shiloh during the Feast of Tabernacle. She could easily have said something like this: God is not answering my prayer. Why should I travel all the way to Shiloh and worship him at the feast and pray? You can all go, I'm staying behind. But she didn't say that, did she? She went with them year after year to pray at the feast. Now, the Feast of Tabernacle was like a big religious festival. The atmosphere was like a carnival. People came from all the surrounding towns and meet old friends, etc. And it's always good to catch up with old friends from other places. But at the feast, meeting so many friends and relatives must have been uncomfortable for Hannah, because they kept asking her, "So you still have no child?" Now, how do you and I cope when we want something so very much? Do we spend more time in prayer, or do we spend less and say, prayer doesn't work? Well, Hannah didn't give up. In Shiloh, she even went to the temple by herself after dinner that she did not eat. It was not the time to pray. So nobody else was in the temple except the old priest Eli. If you look at verse 1, notice how she prayed there. "If you will only look upon your servant, then remember me, and do not forget your servant." These are expressions of humility and dependence upon God, acknowledging that prayer means leaving it to God to grant or not grant her request. She said, "If you will." Moreover, still in verse 11, she offered her son back to God. Although she desperately longs for a child, she was willing to return him to God. Now, someone said to me, it looks like Hannah was bargaining with God. It's like the pagans who go to a temple. "God, if you heal my mother, I will do such and such. God, if you bless my business, I'll give money away to such and such." But that's not what Hannah was doing here. She was not bargaining with God. It's true that when God grants the request to her, she does benefit, because she is no longer a useless member of society. She is now a mother. She would no longer be humiliated by people like Peninnah, and will no longer be looked upon by other people. But she is willing to give her most precious possession, her most longed-for son, to give back to God. She was willing to make the greatest sacrifice to God. The lesson for us is, when our prayers are not answered, don't pray less, but pray more, with an attitude of humility, accepting that it is ultimately God's choice to grant or not to grant our prayers, to answer or not to answer, and to answer in a way he wants to. We are not the boss telling God what to do. We only come to him humbly to ask. Now, as the story continues, God answered her prayers, and she gave birth to a son called Samuel. Now, if anyone is to be a candidate to be a proud mother, surely Hannah would be it. She could have boasted, "Hey, this son of mine, he is special, you know, not like you other mothers who get pregnant easily." She could have said to Peninnah, "Hey, Elkanah only married you not because he loves you, but because I couldn't have a child, but now I have a child. He doesn't even love you. Look at the amount of meat he gives you at the festival compared to me." But that's not what Hannah said, did she? Nothing of that kind. She did not retaliate to Peninnah. She did not idolize her son so much that she wanted to get rid of Peninnah and her son. Remember how another mother handled this 900 years ago? In that instance, once Sarah had her own son Isaac, she asked her husband Abraham to get rid of his other wife Hagar and her son Ishmael, even though it was her idea. But Hannah didn't become proud, nor did she become ambitious and start thinking what this special child could achieve. She could have been easily tempted to renege on her promise to give the child to God for his whole life. Maybe just for a few years, God, yeah? But no, her thinking was still firmly focused on God. When Samuel was born in verse 22, she repeated the promise to give him to the Lord for life. There is no indication that after Samuel was born, that Hannah prayed less. For the 3 or 4 years before weaning the child, Hannah would have continued to pray for him and for his future ministry in the temple. Maybe another mistake that we make is that we only pray a lot when we are desperate for something. Once we get that something, we stop praying. In other words, our prayer is only asking for things. We treat God like a Santa Claus. Once 25th of December comes, Santa Claus has come, delivered the present and gone, we forget him. We stop praying. But prayer is more than asking for things. Remember that God wants to be our friend. He wants to talk to us every day. And we need to talk to him and learn to have fellowship with him every day. Sharing our life with him daily, our ups and downs, the little things, mundane things, as well as the major deep issues. God loves this constant communication with us. So how is our prayer life? How often do you and I think about God every day? Some people say they pray when they drive to work or sit in the train or a bus. Yes, it's good to make use of this leftover time, time that cannot be used productively for other things. But really, we're giving God our leftover time. Why not schedule a time of prayer, preferably in the morning, specially dedicated to God? Use that time to read the Bible and pray. In your prayers, praise him, thank him for his blessing, confess our sins, and then discuss our plans for the day, ask him for help with any difficult issues or decisions that we have to make. Just try and do that 15 minutes a day. Start with 15 minutes in the morning. So don't just pray when we want something, but talk to God often throughout the day. Remember, he wants to be our father. The respectable sins we have talked about so far is not praying enough. But there's another respectable sin, selfishness. Now, we all agree that selfishness surely is a sin. But it is respectable because this world thinks that looking after number one is okay. In fact, it's logical. The world says, of course we look after ourselves and our children first. That's logical. But let's see what Hannah did when it came time to bring Samuel to the temple. In verse 28, she says, so now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life, he will be given over to the Lord. Can you imagine how heartbreaking it must have been, promising to give away your son before you're even pregnant is one thing. But to actually do it after nurturing Samuel for 3 or 4 years, to actually give him away for good, that's something else. It would have been so easy for Hannah to be selfish and to keep Samuel for herself. Mothers, are you tempted to be selfish with your children? Do you selfishly boast that your child is the best reader in their class? Do you boast that your child has the highest ATAR score? Do you boast that your child is the youngest partner in his law firm? Fathers are equally vulnerable to such temptations, and even single people can be boasting about that, about their nieces and nephews. And don't even mention grandmothers. Oh dear, have you seen how many photos they have on their phones? Hannah's attitude was to humbly acknowledge that all she had comes from God. Look at verse 20, chapter 1, and verses 1 and 3 in chapter 2. She acknowledges that all she has comes from God. And mothers, what about your selfish ambitions for your child? We all know about these proverbial Chinese tiger mothers who want their child to achieve success academically, in sport, in music, and in other things. And we've also all heard the joke about Chinese Christian parents who pray for more missionaries and more pastors, but please don't take my son or daughter. We are selfish. We want our children to become doctors, lawyers, engineers, but missionaries and pastors? No way. What is your ultimate aim for your child? Is it selfish glory or glory for God, whatever he or she does in life? And dads, you have a big responsibility here too. Don't just leave it to moms. Finally, what is Hannah's secret in not falling into these respectable sins like prayerlessness and selfishness? We get a clue here from what she did after presenting Samuel to the priest. What she did was Hannah wrote a long prayer, which is recorded in chapter 2. We did not read it this morning because it's too long, but please read it at home later on. This prayer reveals her innermost feeling and thinking. It reveals her deep relationship with God. Hannah's prayer is divided in two parts. In verses 1 to 5, she praises God for being the almighty, powerful God who looks after all her needs and lifted her up from despair. She gives examples of how God often works contrary to human expectations. These first 5 verses show her humble submission to the Almighty God. It shows her total trust in God, and this resulted in constant prayers throughout her life. Notice also that in these first verses, nowhere does she pray selfishly for Samuel. Nowhere does she ask God for protection for him, even though he was so young and left with a complete stranger. She trusted God completely, and she prays a lot. We also must learn to trust in God's control and pray constantly. In the second part of her prayer, verses 6 to 10, she steps back from her own situation and considers the wider world. Again, she acknowledges that God is in control over the whole world and how his justice will prevail. She even hinted that a future king who God will anoint will come. This future king, of course, is Jesus. By looking at the big picture of God's plan for the whole world, instead of focusing on her own family, makes her not selfish. How often do we look at the big picture of God's plan? Let us also not be too narrow and focus on our own family, our own church. Step back and look at God's big picture for the whole world so that we can be less selfish. These are the clues why we see Hannah praying a lot and not being selfish. Hannah's prayer in chapter 2 is often called the Magnificat of the Old Testament and is often compared to the Magnificat of the New Testament, what already Phil mentioned this morning, the Song of Mary, the mother of Jesus, in Luke 1. These two godly mothers offered their sons to serve God fully. One son, Samuel, became the most godly judge and leader of Israel. The other son was Jesus, fully God, but fully man also. And as fully man, he was able to take on the cross the sins of us, humanity, and defeat death. As Samuel led his people in a godly way, Jesus leads anyone now who wants to come back to him, the loving Heavenly Father. So in summary, let us not fall into respectable sin of prayerlessness and selfishness, but trust fully in God. Amen.